The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 22, Text Number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 17, 2006, in New Govardhan, Australia.
So we are taking another dip into that transcendental nectarian ocean known as Srimad Bhagavatam. Today, from the 3rd Canto, Chapter number 22, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tat praticcha dvijagreman shadayo pahritham maya sarvatmananu rupam te priyame dhishu karmasu. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, please accept her, O chief of the brahmanas, for I offer her with faith, and she is in every respect fit to be your wife and take charge of your household duties. Purport. The words griha medishu karmasu mean in household duties. Another word is also used here, sarvat mana nurupam. The purport is that a wife should not only be equal to her husband in age, character, and qualities, but must be helpful to him in his household duties. The household duty of a man is not to satisfy his sense gratification, but to remain with a wife and children, and at the same time attain advancement in spiritual life. One who does not do so is not a householder, but a grihamedi. Two words are used in Sanskrit literature. One is grihasta and the other is grihamedi. The difference between grihamedi and grihasta is that grihasta is also an ashram or spiritual order. But if one simply satisfies his senses as a householder, then he is a grihamedi. For a grihamedi, to accept a wife means to satisfy the senses. But for a grihasta, a qualified wife is an assistant in every respect for advancement in spiritual activities. It is the duty of the wife to take charge of household affairs and not to compete with the husband. A wife is meant to help, but she cannot help her husband unless he is completely equal to her in age, character, and quality. Om Agyanati Marandasham Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So it's interesting here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada uses the word, the English word householder, as synonymous with grihasta. But grihamedi is something less than a householder. Sometimes we say, well, a materialistic householder is grihamedi, is described in that way. But here in this purport, one who is not a grihasta is not a householder. So it makes him something less, he's holding something less than a house, he is a hell holder or something like that. So that's an interesting point here. How Prabhupada uses the language, it's interesting to see the various ways he uses the language. The essence of the wife being qualified in every respect is that she is a devotee. That is the equality. that the husband is devotee, the wife is devotee, and it is a very good combination. The husband has strengths, the husband has weaknesses. The wife has her strengths, she has her weaknesses. When they combine together in Krishna consciousness, then, just like the example of the blind man and the lame man, as a team, they can accomplish much more. Prabhupada was very, very happy the result he got from sending those three householder couples to London. So many Gaudiya Math sannyasis had gone with no result. They had simply posed for some photographs and come back. And huge, can you imagine? I don't know what it was then, but nowadays the British pound is compared to the Indian rupee. I mean, it's just really disproportionate. So, can you imagine supporting preachers in India with Indian rupees? What a sacrifice that was for the Gaudiya Math to support those sannyasis. But what was the result? Nothing. No result. But when Prabhupada sent those three householder couples, you see, to Britain, such huge success they had. Prabhupada gave them the very nice formula how to be successful from that Charlie Chaplin movie, actually. He gave them that formula. You all know that Charlie Chaplin movie that Prabhupada uses as an example when he sent the devotees to London. Everyone knows? Yeah, it was a very interesting movie that Charlie Chaplin was at one of these ball dances, you know, with formal attire, you know, the tuxedos and fancy gowns, you know. And there's a little area outside of the dancing floor with a little garden area with some bench. So some kids thought they would have some fun. They put some glue all over the bench. So Charlie Chaplin, he sat down on the bench, and when he got up, his tuxedo ripped. Now, that's not so cool to have a ripped tuxedo. I mean, you know, a formal event, everything's supposed to be, you know, really first class. But now he has a ripped tuxedo, what to do? It's a big embarrassment. So Charlie Chaplin was not one to be undone by any circumstance. So he came up with a bright idea. He went in the men's room and ripped it all the way up to the top. The tail, you know, the tuxedo, ripped it all the way up. And then he got on the dance floor and just danced like anything. This way and that way, spinning around. Everybody was just in awe watching Charlie Chaplin dancing with his date. Then they all the men went and ripped their tuxedos and they all started dancing like crazy. So Prabhupada gave that as an example. The mood they should have when they went to England, you see. Just to be very, very enthusiastic. And it worked. They were very successful. It's part of the glorious history of ISKCON. The Beatles became attracted. Number one hit. It was a huge success. Because these three householder couples were working together, very not only as husband and wife, but the three couples working together as a team of six. Of course, they had seven. Little Sarasvati was also there. But by that wonderful cooperation between husbands and wives and three married couples, such a tremendous spiritual revolution was able to take off in the UK. So this principle of cooperation between husband and wife, between devotees in general, this is the whole essence of what the strength of this movement is, this wonderful cooperation. Each and every one of us has certain areas in which we are strong. We have certain areas in which we are weak. We should honestly admit our weaknesses. We shouldn't try to ignore our weaknesses. We should know how much we are actually dependent on each other for being strong in Krishna consciousness. And we should gratefully accept the association of the devotees as the greatest blessing that we could ever possibly have. I mean, how could we be Krishna conscious without each other? We are so dependent on each other. Actually, Prabhupada is manifest in the form of his followers. So, by associating with Prabhupada's followers, those who are sincerely trying to follow Prabhupada, by associating with Prabhupada's followers, we are getting Prabhupada's association also in that way. So it's a wonderful, wonderful principle here of this cooperative spirit of working together. Everyone happily and joyfully taking up their respective duties in this wonderful team, the ISKCON team. The whole world at the present moment is suffering horrible, horrible situation. It's simply getting worse and worse and worse. Chaotic situation. More and more becoming manifest throughout the entire planet. In all ways. Environmentally, sociologically, psychologically. I mean, in every single arena. Simply more and more becoming chaotic condition. More and more chaotic condition. There's no solution except for Krishna consciousness. So we have to wake up and realize what kind of awesome duty Srila Prabhupada has given us. Tremendously awesome responsibility he has given us. He told us in Bombay, he said, the whole world is being managed by rogues and demons. He said, now you make your life successful and you take the management. We are not meant simply to live comfortably in our ashram or our home. We are actually meant to qualify ourselves to lead this entire world out of chaotic condition. So, what is the qualification to do that? We have to bring our own senses under control. That is the simple key. If we can subdue our own senses, vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pasta vegam, you see, then we are qualified to lead the world out of chaos. If we can't bring our own senses under control, bring our own false egos under control, bring that pride under control, and work together with complete cooperative, loving spirit, then we can actually lead this entire world out of chaos and do our duty that Prabhupada has given us. The modern day leader is simply a joke. Simply a joke. What kind of leaders are they? Simply cartoon caricatures of leaders. They have no qualification. Simply rogues, rascals. Vedic culture means, especially the Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Prabhupada explains the Brahmins protect the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas protect the Brahmins. It's a very synergistic relationship between the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins protect the Kshatriyas by giving them spiritual enlightenment. And the Kshatriyas protect the Brahmins by protecting them from physical harm. So if we can actually come to that position of becoming true Brahmanas, then we can do our real duty for the world leaders by giving them this enlightenment, this Krishna consciousness. To the extent that we ourselves have actually become enlightened in Krishna consciousness, to that extent we can bestow Krishna consciousness upon others. So our own individual cultivation of Krishna consciousness to progress to the offenseless stage of chanting. This is a very, very important thing. We have to be very, very serious about this Krishna consciousness process. Because cannot be lackadaisical. Take it cheaply, take it casually. Very, very serious thing. It's actually life or death matter. If we are not Krishna conscious, we may be obliged to take birth. Even, we see Bharat Maharaj took birth as a dude. If our mind is disturbed, distracted by other things, we do not know where we will go. We have to be very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. We have to pray for that mercy, that we can be very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then we can actually do our duty, we can carry out our responsibility. There's nothing so thrilling, nothing so exciting, nothing so enlivening as Krishna consciousness. But yet, many times we see that we find it difficult. We come to Bhagavatam class and our mind just goes drifting off. We go, fall asleep, you see. Because we are still very much influenced by the modes of nature, being pulled by the lower modes. We're not tasting that nectar. Just imagine the intense absorption of Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Shukadev. He wasn't nodding out. His mind wasn't drifting off somewhere, thinking, when will this class be over so I can have my breakfast? Is it? He was very, very absorbed, drinking the sweetest nectar, hearing the recitation coming from the lotus mouth of Shukadev Goswami. So we have to train ourselves how to hear as Parikshit heard. That we have to learn, that art. How to hear with quality. That brings the greatest reward, actually. One who can master the art of hearing, that brings the greatest reward. And that is the only qualification for preaching also. This is how Prabhupada became qualified, noted by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. There was that Vrindavan Parikrama going on. They were going from place to place, and every evening, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is giving discourse. But in Vrindavan, you know, in the evening, they have their transcendental nightlife. Here you have the gambling casinos, nightlife. But in Vrindavan, of course, nightlife is darshan. Darshan here, darshan there. That is the Vrindavan nightlife. So in the evening time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he's giving pravachan, he's preaching on Krishna consciousness. But he speaks in very erudite English, the materialistic deminar cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat, etc., etc. Prabhupada said, I would hear, he said, I would understand or I would not understand, but I would simply go on hearing. So very few of the disciples actually stayed to hear. They all went for darshan, here and there for the darshan. But Prabhupada was very, very keen. I just wanted to hear Guru Maharaj. You see. He says, because I have heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So this, to learn how to be a very good hearer, this will make us or break us in Krishna consciousness. I become very, very expert, very, very enthusiastic to hear. Who is speaking, it doesn't matter, as long as it is Krishna consciousness. You see. It can be a big sannyasi, it can be a humble householder, a brahmachari, it doesn't matter. Simply, is the subject matter Krishna consciousness, according to Prabhupada's teachings, you see. then we should be very, very eager to hear. Because such hearing will empower us. Such hearing will liberate us from the sufferings of material existence. Such hearing will lift us, it's like a transcendental airplane that will just take us out of this material existence. Shabda Brahma, transcendental airplane. Fly Hare Krishna, it will get you there on time. Is it? So that airplane is taking off in the form of transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada is the captain. And they're serving out prasadam. The in-flight movies are very wonderful. Krishna's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Prabhupada's pastime. So many wonderful in-flight movies available on the Shabda Brahma, that Hare Krishna Airlines taking us back to home, back to Godhead. So we simply have to master this art of hearing. Not that it's, you know, it's painful to hear the Bhagavatam class. Oh God, I have to hear Bhagavatam class again. I wish I could do something else. Not that kind of a thing. Oh wow, it's a chance to sit and hear the Bhagavatam. Wow! That kind of enthusiasm should be there. Utsahan! You see, utsahat! You see, we should be very enthusiastic. That enthusiasm is a very important principle, actually. It will sustain one through so many ups and downs of the material nature. It was a personal order I got from Prabhupada, actually. Somehow or other, I don't know how, but I had just gotten initiated and I wrote Prabhupada a letter. It must have been because I was with Vishnujan Maharaj at the time. I must have, because Vishnujan Maharaj was very keen on spreading the movement. So I must have said something. I don't have a copy of the letter I wrote Prabhupada, but I must have said, Prabhupada, I would like to spread this movement. Something like that. Because he wrote me back, he said, I can see you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. Very sincere for spreading this movement. He said, simply continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I was very enthused by that instruction and that blessing from Prabhupada. So I just have hung on to that instruction through so many ups and downs now, 30s, 35, going on almost 36 years now, of so many ups and downs we go through as we're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. But I always knew Prabhupada ordered me to be enthusiastic, and he guaranteed I would get Krishna's blessings if I did so. So I was just determined, I'm not going to let anything break my enthusiasm. I don't care what happens. I'm always going to keep that enthusiasm. I know Prabhupada will give me special mercy if I do that. So this process works. Many people go away, they say, well, the process doesn't really work. Well, the reality is the process works if you work the process. If you don't work the process, then it's not going to work. But anybody who works this process, they will get the result. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundara machintyogana svarupam Govinda Mahati Purusham Tamaham Bhajani. Anyone who follows this process according to Prabhupada's books, they will see Krishna. They will see Krishna. That's a fact. So we should have full faith in this process, full enthusiasm, full determination, and at the same time, we have to be what? Patient. Because it doesn't come like that. How many millions of lifetimes we've been covered by lust, anger, greed, pride, fault-finding mentality. How many millions of lifetimes have we been totally encrusted with this crud? Uncountable eons. You see, we've been entangled. So we have to be a little patient. Even though there's nothing more powerful than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. There's nothing more powerful. It's more powerful than the most powerful bombs, hydrogen bombs they have available. This is the most powerful weapon. There's nothing more powerful than the Hare Krishna mantra. Even though we have this most powerful weapon to conquer over the disease of material existence, it will take some time. We are so contaminated. We are so much in need of rectification. But if we patiently, faithfully execute this process, then the result is guaranteed. We will see Krishna. We will go back to him, back to Vaidhan. And Prabhupada gave me another instruction. He ordered me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada's direct order to me in one letter. So we are meant to do that. Each and every one of us is meant to completely purify ourselves of all the contamination so that we can actually directly perceive God. And that supreme darshan is available to everyone. Krishna wants to reveal himself. We simply have to qualify ourselves. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see God, but try to act in such a way that God wants to see you. So that we must do. We must perform such nice service in such nice, loving mood that Krishna is so happy he wants to come. You see? So pleased with him. This is a challenge. Prabhupada challenged me in another letter. He said that he described for me what it means to become completely pure. He said, no karma, no jnana, no yoga, all material desires, zero. And then I was a little shocked, of course pleasantly shocked, but then Prabhupada said, whether you can be like that. He challenged me, whether you can be like that. Only by your mercy, Prabhupada. Only by your mercy could I ever be like that. Because I know how contaminated I am, Srila Prabhupada. But by your mercy, it's possible. So Prabhupada is pushing us. Become pure devotees. Become free from the contamination of this material existence. He's pushing us to come to that position. He wants us to become purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing that pleases him more. I remember I was in Atlanta in 1975. There was a big gathering of devotees there. Prabhupada was there. It's a wonderful, wonderful festival. Prabhupada was there for quite a few days in Atlanta. Of course, the big push was distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. If you want to please Prabhupada, distribute books. And that's an eternal order. We must flood this planet with Prabhupada's books. So one Sankirtan party leader, book distributor leader, who was out there distributing so many books, he raised his hand and said, Srila Prabhupada, how can we please you the most? And you could detect in his mood, he wanted Prabhupada to say, you know, by distributing books, he looked like he was a little bit proud that, you know, I'm a book distributor and I'm pleasing Prabhupada, the best. I detected that mood in the way he asked the question. He wanted to be glorified for being a book distributor in front of everyone, kind of a mood. So there was a hushed silence. He asked that question. Well, how will Prabhupada answer? And then Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. And everyone was completely enlivened. Everyone. He was enlivened, the whole room. We were just, everybody was totally enlivened. Because that's the ultimate goal, actually. Is develop love for Krishna. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we have to see, am I actually developing love for Krishna? You see. Am I developing a taste for the holy name? A taste for Vaishnava Sangha? A taste for Guru Seva? All these wonderful aspects of Krishna consciousness, am I developing a taste for these things? Am I falling in love with Krishna? Or am I falling in love with sleep? You see. Where is my attraction? We have to fall in love with Krishna, that beautiful Lord who is smiling, beckoning us to return to His transcendental pastime. Return, you see. Some people say, well, we didn't start off in the pastimes of the Lord. We started off somewhere else. But that's not what Prabhupada said. Back to Godhead means we came from. Now we have to go back. Prabhupada explains in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Svarup Siddhi. That means you have Svarup, that means your original form. One has an original form, an original identity in the pastimes of the Lord, in the spiritual world. But somehow we went into that small minority of jivas. They made the mistake of wanting to try something different. They wanted to try to be the Lord themselves. So here we are. So we actually have that identity in a particular rasa. Each and every one of us have an identity. We cannot try to guess that or know that. That is not important. We simply have to completely surrender to our spiritual master, completely surrender to the Guru Parampara. And by doing that, we will be brought back into, gradually into our original identity in the spiritual world. That will come back to us. We'll be there again in our original identity before we left. Whatever we may be, gopi, gopa, flower, butterfly, you know, cow, flute, whatever we may be, we will actually become reinstated in our original relationship with Krishna before we foolishly left it. Simply have to stick with this process. And we will taste the sweetest nectar in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. You know something? Suffering is stupid. It's mere stupidity to be in a suffering condition. It's simply out of ignorance. If I'm suffering, it just means I'm stupid. That's it. I'm plain stupid. Because the actual position of a living being is he's eternal, he's full of knowledge, and he's full of bliss. So the opposite side is temporary, full of ignorance, full of misery. Said if Satchit Ananda is Asat, Achit Nirananda. So we have to stop being so stupid. To misidentify with this lump of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, the subtle body also, false ego. We have to stop identifying with blood, urine, pus, stool, all these wonderful things. that we think is us. We have to stop this stupid misidentification. We're simply drinking deadly poison, knowingly. If I gave you a cup of arsenic, I said, Prabhu, have this wonderful cup of arsenic. Please, drink. Will you take? Yeah, we are taking. We are taking the arsenic. Yes, I am male. Yes, I am female. Yes, I am Australian. Yes, I am American. We are drinking this. Yes, I am Polish. Yes, we are drinking this arsenic. How foolish we are. You see, Narottama is lamenting like that. I am drinking poison knowingly. You see. Hari Hari Bipale Janam Gonainu. You see. My dear Lord Hari, I have uselessly spoiled my life. You see. I have thrown it away, just completely spoiled my life, just drinking this poison, you see. So we have to stop being so damn stupid. We have to stop drinking this poison of material identification. We have to come to the blissful, enlightened, ecstatic platform of pure prema bhakti by following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, following the system as it has been so perfectly handed to us from the lotus hands of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So we can ask now if there's some questions, and please, I'm hard of hearing, so enunciate clearly and loudly if you have a question. Yes, Prabhu?
So for Richard, he had a fair bit of impetus. He was going to die in 7 days.
And, impetus, what was it?
Parikshit Maharaj had some impetus.
Parikshit, yes, 7 days, that's right.
He had 7 days, so he had a fair bit of impetus. There was a limit, whereas we sometimes get bewildered without plenty of time, and so therefore we'll sleep in Bhagavatam class. How does one get the same enthusiasm to hear as Parikshit Maharaj?
Yeah. The real thing is... You should really live each... Just imagine, Prabhu, that today you're going to die. You know, you're going to leave your body today. It's for sure, today you will die. Would you be serious to hear the Bhagavatam class if today you knew that, you know, later on this afternoon I'm leaving my body? You see? Actually, we should live each day as if this is it. Today is my last day on the planet. I'm going to die. The astrologers have confirmed, today is it, I'm dying today. So that's how seriously we should do it. Every day, as if today is my last day. I'm checking out of the hotel today. My last day on the planet today. Actually, we should live each moment as if it is our last moment. You see? It's like our godbrother, Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He was giving pravachan in Mayapur and he died. All he was giving clap. Just, he was giving class and he collapsed, and shortly after that, something like that. So we should live each second as if this is my last second. Of course, then someone may say, oh, why should I pay my rent then? Actually, you have to play it from both ends. You've got to work it from both ends. You know, as if I'm going to live to be 80... And at the same time, as if I could die at any second. You got to work it from both ends. And then you're in good shape. You see? But we really should, right now, what if the Al-Qaeda came and there's a big bomb right under the, you know, it's going to go off in 30 seconds. And we're all going to die in the next 30 seconds. You know, how seriously we would be hearing the Bhagavatam right now. If there was a firing squad surrounding us and they're going to annihilate us all, getting ready to... We said, just give us 60 seconds so we can have a quick Bhagavatam class. And I said, okay, you got 60 seconds. You know, 60, 59, 58, 57. All right. We had 60 seconds, Prabhus, and that was it. And this is it. Now we're going to leave. The next 60 seconds, you're out of here. How seriously we would tune into this Bhagavatam. How seriously we would hear. You see? So we have to kick ourselves and remind ourselves. We tend to become very lackadaisical. And to remind ourselves every day, this could be my last day on this planet. Let me utilize it in such a way that I will not have to take another rotten material body again. Any other question? I appreciate it very much. That's a nice question. Thank you very much. Such a wonderful question.
I wonder why approaching a life and a while and a day to die from a pessimistic point of view, why not from an optimistic point of view, saying from a pessimistic point of view that it could be a last minute of our life and therefore we are under the terrible pressure. Why not to assume there is a next day and next a chance to change our lives?
Yes, yes. Now what I'm
seeing it
from a material viewpoint, someone would say that Sankarshan Das, you're such a pessimist. How you can talk that way? But that's from a material viewpoint. From the spiritual point of view, you see, one realizes that I'm not the body. One sees everything, and on the spiritual platform, one sees everything absolutely positively. There's no such thing as a negative thing for someone who's on the spiritual platform. Nothing can ever break the positivity. A transcendentalist sees everything positive. In the material world, there's good, bad, it's always up and down. But a transcendentalist sees everything positively. He can take what would be the worst possible scenario and even find that to be very wonderful and positive. So if one can take the worst possible scenario, then anything else will be so much the better. If you can handle the worst case scenario, and it won't even faze you. In fact, it will enliven you. If you can handle the worst case, if you can be enlivened by the worst possible thing that can happen to you, this is the most positive philosophy that exists on this planet. If the most devastating of all things is seen in a positive way, is experienced, if one is energized and empowered by such a thing, then just imagine how energized and empowered such a person would be in all times, all places, and all circumstances. To simply hide our head in the sand may appear, you know, like the ostrich. The proverbial ostrich who buries his head in the sand when the predator is coming to get him. Well, he's keeping a positive attitude. Actually, the best thing to be blindly positive is artificial positivity. It's artificial positivity. To see the reality as it is and to see the positive aspect of every single portion of reality, that is true positivity. You see. So Hare Krishna philosophy is oftentimes criticized for being negative. But actually, it is pure positive. There's not a negative aspect. Not even one smidgen of an aspect of Krishna consciousness which is negative. It's pure positive, every aspect of it. If we think it's negative, we just don't really... That means we have some negativity problems in ourselves. And we haven't overcome yet. Actually, this is completely positive. Because it sees at every hand how the unlimited mercy of Krishna is being bestowed upon each and every living entity throughout the totality of existence. The unlimited mercy of Krishna is showering upon each and every living entity throughout the totality of existence at every second. That is the vision of a transcendentalist. That's totally positive. Nothing negative there. Anything else? All right. We'll stop here and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.